Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If my brother didn't show up, it wouldn't be, oh, he's missing. It'd be,
pissed up again.
Bet he slept in. Lazy bastard. No one had phoned the police.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this. So, this is our last recording before CrimeCon.
It is. But this will come out after CrimeCon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yesterday, I treated myself to a spa day.
He did indeed.
To make myself look reasonable for the middle-aged women in London.
Yeah. Neil likes mature women.
Well, I don't mind. I don't discriminate.
No.
So, I thought, do you know what? I'm going to get myself a facial. I've never had a proper facial done. And I got an Indian head massage done. Now, the reason why I'm telling you guys this, the treatment was amazing. Everything else, shambles.
Well, what went wrong?
So I got there and I stood at reception for a good 5 minutes waiting. This is supposed to be a 5-star fucking hotel.
It was busy or there was no one at the desk?
No one at the desk.
Oh.
No bell to ring. And you know me, if I'd have seen that bell.
Were you at the spa reception or the leisure centre reception?
This is where I'm fucking going to get to. I was at the hotel reception.
Oh, okay.
In the main lobby.
Well, that's even worse that there was no one there.
So then a guy comes out and starts fucking about with his tea and coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, can I help you, sir? And I went, well,
yes,
I hope so. I've been studying 5 fucking minutes. I've got a spa appointment at 12.
Got a spa appointment, I'll have you know.
One has a spa appointment at 12. One is getting late.
Yeah. One is getting late. Right. So go on. He goes up to help you.
So he said, the spa isn't here. It's on the 3rd floor. So he pointed me to the elevator and he said, go up to the 3rd floor. When you come out, turn left, walk to the end of the corridor, and you'll see the spa reception.
Yeah.
I was like, I can follow directions. I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah.
So I get in the lift. I go up to the 3rd floor. I turned left because you can't turn right. There's a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's room numbers. And I'm like,
something's gone wrong here.
Where have I gone wrong? I've made one turn left. That's it. So I turned around and I noticed if you like went back on yourself from the lift, there's a corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked down there. Room numbers. I was like, right, so one of these, right, either he's acting the bollocks, he's either got dyspraxia and he didn't know what floor for me to go on.
Yeah.
So I walked to the end of the corridor. It sent me back round. The first corridor I walked round and the second one, a joint. It's like a horseshoe.
Yeah.
So I just ended up back at the elevator.
Right.
And then luckily, a woman got out of the lift and I saw she was wearing the hotel uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, excuse me, I have an appointment at 12 o'clock in the spa.
Yeah.
Where is it?
And
she went,
are you hiding it from me?
She went, you just walk down here. And I went, where the rooms are. And she went, yeah, walk past the rooms. And I went, yeah, but that takes me back to the lift. And she went, no, there's some double doors in the middle of the corridor.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to them, turn left. So I'm walking, thinking I'm going to come head on with some double doors.
Mm-hmm.
No. And she's walking behind me, directing me. She's, yeah, just keep going. Yeah, just keep going. And then she went, enjoy your treatment. And she fucked off. So I carried on walking. And I'm like, where the fuck did she go? So I turned around. She'd gone into the spa. She just let me carry on walking down the fucking...
Wander off.
So I went into reception.
And then she was your therapist?
No.
Oh.
So I went into reception and I said, one has an appointment.
For 10 minutes ago.
One has... Right. It said, be there 5 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
I got there at 20 to 12. My appointment was at 12. I gave them extra time. I was late because of all this.
Yeah.
So I walked up to reception and I said, one has an appointment at 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, one is late. And I said, well, that's not my fault, but you've got it as Crystal fucking May is here. I've been here since 20 to 12. This better not cut into my time for the treatment.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. I said, like, I'm not going to lose any time on the treatment. Like, this is not cheap.
Mm.
So she gave me a robe and a pair of slippers and she said, so come into this room, get changed. Here's your locker. You have to put everything in there. Mm-hmm. Don't have anything on you. Keep your phone in here, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But keep all you take in with you in the robe is the key for the locker.
Yeah.
I was like, makes sense. And she said, before you go into treatment, you'll go into the relaxation room. And I said, what happens in there? And she said,
stress, a lot of stress in the relaxation room.
You can just sit in there, you can have a drink. You know, so I'm looking for Corona. And she said, some magazines, which I didn't even look at and knew, whatever's there, I'm not going to be reading.
Mm.
So I went and got changed, went into the relaxation room. Now, the chairs?
Yeah, they're like loungers.
I felt like I was in stirrups.
Yeah, they're like, they're like shaped for your body. So like,
if I had got my boxers on, everyone would have seen my bollocks. My legs were up in the air. I thought I were giving birth.
Yeah. But they're comfy though.
So I just start to actually feel like I can zone out. And then, I'm like, that's a fucking phone. So I, you know, carried on laid there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a woman, two beds down, chairs, beds, fucking about on a phone. Like making loads of racket with it.
Mm.
It's like, excuse me. Like, pardon.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I think it's so fucking rude. Like, even if you, because I struggle to zone out. I'd be just as well sat there on my phone and then go for my appointment. But it's not about me. It's about other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then my therapist came out. Neil, ready for you. If you want to follow me. Gladly. So I get up.
Get me out of this kip.
And she went, are you feeling relaxed after being in the relaxation room? No. Why? And I said, well, you got two natterers in the corner, constantly nattering. I says, and one of them were on the phone. And she went, they shouldn't be on the phone. And I went, I know.
Tell me about it.
I read the email.
So, trials and tribulations aside, you actually did really enjoy your treatment.
I'd go again. It was worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think. What are we covering today?
Today we are going to be covering the case of the murder of Marilyn Wrynn.
Irish.
Is indeed.
Yeah.
At the time of the murder, Marilyn was 41 years old, and she lived by herself in Blanchardstown, County Dublin. She worked as a civil servant for the Department of Environment. Marilyn was described as professional yet feisty. She was independent and known for her wit. She was incredibly close to her family, was said to have had a good circle of friends around her, and always tried to see the best in people. She was a house-proud person. Her home was described as being meticulously maintained. Marilyn also enjoyed attending aerobics among other keep fit classes, and she loved a bit of the old pottery and gardening.
One of them.
Well, I mean, how the hell did she have time for it all? How did she have time to maintain? Because, like, you know, it's a good circle of friends, so I'm assuming she was popular.
Social.
She had, social butterfly, even. She had time to socialise, go out with her mates, pottery, gardening, and exercising like fuck from the sounds of it.
And work.
And work.
And how, clean the house.
How did you have time? How? Then again, I suppose it's easier to keep your home clean when, you know, you're just cleaning up after yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very clean, tidy person. Neil, on the other hand, has a more relaxed approach to housework, wouldn't you say?
What? I've just bleached the floor.
Even during her younger years, Marilyn liked to keep busy. She would spend her summer holidays working in St. Mary's Hospital in Phoenix Park. Marilyn's mother said that she had a happy life and she couldn't have asked for better. On the night of the 21st of December, 1995,
Marilyn was out attending her workplace's Christmas party at the Sheeling Hotel in Raheny. At about 2 a.m, she left the party and headed into the city centre to meet some of her work friends at Eddie Rocket's Diner on O'Connell Street.
Shithole.
I won't hear a wrong word about Eddie Rocket's.
It's a fairly better version of McDonald's, but twice the price.
Fairly better version. You want to stick with that?
What's wrong with that?
But Eddie Rocket's is like, you go in there, you have a meal, you're full. You're good for the day. McDonald's, you're like half an hour later, you're hungry.
Yeah, McDonald's, you're fat and you're hungry again.
Mm. By 3 a.m, she headed over to Westmoreland Street to catch the Nightlink bus home to Blanchardstown. Now, the Nightlink bus is just a late night bus service after, you know, the usual public transport has stopped running. It's not the best, it's not the safest.
Yeah.
Once she had exited the bus at Blanchardstown Village, she took a shortcut through Tolka Valley Park. Now, Marilyn was well used to walking this way home. But don't you always think, no, when you hear shortcut?
Not for me, but I can understand it for a woman.
But in a true crime case, don't you usually go, when you hear shortcut?
No.
Oh, just me then.
Unless it's like a dark alley.
As she walks down the path through the park, there's also someone walking not far behind her, a man. It's unsure if he had been following her for long, but it's believed that this man makes his way towards Marilyn and starts some sort of conversation or something with her before he begins the attack.
Do you not think, even in countries like Ireland, not biased because you're female, don't you think women should be allowed to carry pepper spray?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, prosecute them to fuck if they've used it and abused it.
Yeah.
But I think they should be allowed to, legally, carry pepper spray at least.
I mean, I think it's one of those things that women don't give a fuck. They'll carry it regardless because I'll take me chances in court.
Well, there's actually someone at work. She's only like 20, 21, and she told me she's got herself a knife.
Yeah. Sick of using the old car keys, do you know what I mean? Between the fucking knuckles. After Marilyn had somewhat let her guard down, he grabs her and drags her into the hedges, just off the path, where he would then sexually assault her. He then uses his bare hands to strangle her, leaving her body at the location of the attack. This attack took place just a few days short of Christmas, and a few days after Marilyn had just celebrated her 41st birthday.
Okay, now.
Now, Marilyn was due to attend Christmas dinner at her parents' house, but after she doesn't show up, and they don't hear from her, Marilyn's brother Stephen reported her missing on the 26th of December, St. Stephen's Day.
Boxing Day.
If you're British, but it's more commonly referred to as St. Stephen's Day in Europe.
And do you know what I get from that with the Christmas Day thing?
Mm.
Like, this isn't me trying to add comedy at all. I'm deadly serious with this. If I still lived in Sheffield, and we had like a family Christmas day.
Mm-hmm.
If my brother didn't show up, it wouldn't be, oh, he's missing. It'd be,
pissed up again.
Bet he slept in.
Oh.
Lazy bastard. No one had phoned the police.
I mean, see, I thought it seemed a bit odd waiting another day.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe if she had planned to have been out on Christmas Eve, they might have thought, oh, she's not feeling well. She's stayed in bed. Yeah, slept in.
And this is the 90s. They didn't have Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp. Where they can just
ring the house phone. Yeah. She's not answering. With possible sightings of Marilyn during this time, it would be 2 weeks before her family's fears were confirmed, and they would find out that the worst had happened. On the 7th of January, 1996, Marilyn's body was found, naked amongst the brambles. During a search of the Tolka Valley Park area that Marilyn was known to have travelled through, a cadaver dog picked up a scent and found her just 15 minutes into the search.
I wonder how many cases wouldn't be solved, what are solved, if it wasn't for police dogs.
Mm, they're brilliant.
Like, they really are.
Yeah.
They're a shortcut to the investigation.
I mean, well, we don't have that nasal power.
Yeah.
Her clothes and handbag were also found nearby. In her bag, Marilyn was carrying a fair amount of money. She had her week's wages with her. She could have gotten a taxi home, straight to her door. She was used to getting the Nightlink bus. Also bear in mind, it was Christmas time, and she would have had about an hour's wait for a taxi. And at that stage, after a long night out, she probably just wanted to get home and into bed.
Yeah. Even though she had to walk through Blanche.
Now, Because the temperature was so low around this time of year, there was DNA evidence at the scene, and it was preserved. A DNA sample was able to be collected from her body. So, following the discovery of Marilyn's body, the guards went house to house requesting any information that anyone may have had. Their investigation produced over 2,000 statements and 354 DNA samples. Over 100 of these samples were given by men who had a history of sexual assaults, and over 70 officers were assigned to the investigation.
Okay, now that's a lot for Ireland.
Yeah, it's...
every officer in the country?
I know, it's just like Wicklow, Kildare, they're all just bare. There was just riots in the streets with no police presence.
Like, can you remember the biggest mistake I've heard Ireland do while I've been here? They put out statements basically saying that we don't have enough guards for the country.
Yeah.
It's like, are you actually admitting that?
Yeah, don't say that, lads.
Like, they actually said, I think it was for Wicklow, they were saying we're very short-staffed in Wicklow. Don't say that.
Yeah.
All the criminals from fucking Finglas and fucking Blanche are going to go down to Wicklow.
Yeah.
Less chance of getting caught.
Yeah. It wasn't the best move. During their investigation, they sought out the taxi driver who had driven her to O'Connell Street that night. Also anyone who had travelled on the Nightlink bus with her. The investigation had stalled a bit due to the alleged sightings of Marilyn. At first, the investigation was leaning more towards that of a missing person, due to claims that she had been seen getting on the bus on the morning of the 22nd of December. Not to mention that at the time, Dublin didn't have the capability to test all of the DNA samples, so some of the samples had been sent to Belfast for analysis.
Yeah.
They were also wary that there could have been a link between Marilyn's murder and that of the disappearance of Annie McCarrick, one of the women whose disappearance makes up the Vanishing Triangle.
Oh.
Yeah, so an acquaintance of Annie's was said to have been in contact with Marilyn not long before her death. Now, I have my own theories with that whole thing. Nothing really came of that, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But it was just one of the things that they kind of had in the back of their mind.
Yeah.
In July of 1996, the guards got a DNA match. And on the 6th of August, a 31-year-old man by the name of David Lawler was arrested. During house-to-house inquiries, David had told the guards that he had been in the area that night, followed by him volunteering a DNA sample. So there's definitely a level of confidence there.
Maybe not confident. Well, kind of confident. But this is like mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it was in its infancy kind of thing.
Criminals thought it were a load of bollocks. They were like, DNA,
yeah.
Bollocks.
Well, down the line in the story, I will let you know where his confidence came from, but... yeah, you are right. Like, in 95, or at this point, early 96, DNA was hardly a thing. It was kind of just coming into circulation, I suppose. Also, David was initially questioned just as part of the process of elimination. There was nothing drawing them to him.
I just live nearby.
Yeah. But after his arrest and during further questioning, David was upfront about his crimes. And his reason for attacking Marilyn was down to being, quote, overcome with homicidal and sexual impulse.
So he's got more front than Sheffield.
He was released on bail on the condition that he reside with his parents in Baltinglass, County Wicklow, and present daily at the guard station.
Hold on. He said, basically, I'm a fucking psychopath.
I react on impulse.
Yeah. And they let him out on bail.
Yeah, I do think it's a little bit concerning to release a man who admittedly becomes overwhelmed by homicidal and sexual impulse. But that's what the guards saw best to do.
Oh.
Well, fuck me, right?
I can't spec.
I know. Surely they would have had grounds to hold him on that alone. Surely it would have been like, well, he's a danger to the public.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Now, if you remember from our last episode, David Lawler is the cousin of Larry Murphy.
Oh.
Hmm. And just like his cousin Larry, David at the time was married with a 6-year-old child and another one on the way.
Fucking hell.
Again, the same as Larry, he had no previous convictions and had had no run-ins with the guards. Originally from Bolton Glass, David now lived in Blanchardstown, not far from where Marilyn lived. He worked as a telephone technician, described as a more quiet individual, a more unassuming type. Where he lived in Blanche, he earned the nickname Jesus Christ for his longer hair and beard.
Where did they come up with that?
They frighten themselves. The genius just comes to them so quick,
It's the same as, there's a fat guy there with grey hair and a grey beard. Santa,
yeah.
What about Elvis? We've got an Elvis.
Yeah, we do, yeah. We have a fella who lives up the road who, he has been known to wear the full get-up, but in his downtime, he keeps the hair going. That whole kind of, do you call it,
Do you remember?
And the glasses.
Yeah. Do you remember when we were, I battled through the snow to drive up to the shop?
2018 Beast from the East.
What?
That was the storm we had. It was 2018 and it was called the Beast from the East. It was the most snow we've ever had in my lifetime.
Yeah. And he was walking up, I'd pulled up at the side of the road and he was walking on the path. And these kids, it must have been about 13-year-old, pelted snowballs at him.
When I say it hit him, I mean it hit him on like the bridge of his nose, knocked his fucking glasses flying. And I'm there like, oh my God, like, is he all right? And Neil's there like cracking up laughing. Like what he's doing right now, he was choking on his laughter. I'm thinking, oh my God. Your man turns once he gets hit and goes, who done that? Fucking bastard. It was telling. It was such an odd response to it. He didn't go mad. He just stated who
he looked
done
at
that.
Me for a sec and yeah. I'm like, I'm sat in my car.
Well, you're there laughing your head off, so.
He couldn't get a more perfect fucking shot. It was bang square in the middle of his face.
Yeah. And there's just three teenagers running off. And it's like, I think it was them, mate.
His fucking glasses went flying.
As a young lad, David was described as bright and coming from a stable background with a respectable family. And the news of what he had done shocked those who had known him in the years previous. On the night of the attack, David had been out that night attending a Christmas party, the same as Marilyn had. He'd been drinking heavily since lunchtime, so at that stage about 12 hours worth of drinking.
That's nothing for over here.
It's a Tuesday afternoon.
Breakfast. But can I just say, something always seems to happen at work Christmas do's. Stay it on.
Yeah. I'm not into work dues myself.
No, but why is it all... Whenever you watch these true crime documents, like it could be Forensic Files.
Mm.
She was out at a work Christmas do.
I think, Christmas time's a lot more people on the streets and obviously alcohol's involved. It's
all canned up.
Canned up.
Aunt piss.
Aunt. David left the Exchequer Hotel in Dublin City Centre at approximately 3:30 a.m. He said that he had struggled to get a taxi and decided to just walk home, which would be about an hour's walk. During his walk home is where he encountered Marilyn. And whether you believe his story that he became overwhelmed by impulses, or that he simply saw a woman on her own in the middle of the night in a relatively isolated area and saw his chance to commit his vicious assault. Not to mention, the area where he had stopped her, it was a particularly dingy spot that a lot of locals knew to be a more dangerous place after dark.
Yeah.
We all kind of know the area. There was, discarded bottles, syringes could be found there. There had been a few incidents with a flasher there in the year previous. Even in the mornings, it had been known to have had muggings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And some of the locals had actually petitioned to get that laneway fenced off. It was a bit of a problem spot,
Yeah.
So to me, it seems like he knew where he was going to stop her. It wasn't just a coincidence.
So... do you know in the courts, would that be classed as premeditated? Because even if he were following her for like 15, 20 minutes on that path, it'd be, I'm going to attack her, I'm not going to do it yet. I'm going to do it when I get further down there.
Yeah, I don't know in the eyes of the law how much or how little they can determine premeditation. Because obviously, we're assuming he hasn't planned it from the day before or the week before. But I do agree with you. There's a certain level of premeditation, even if it's in that moment, in that 20 minutes or 5, 10, whatever it is, you haven't just seen them and gone and attacked. If you're to wait till they get to a certain point, technically there is a level of premeditation.
You've had time where you could have stopped yourself.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So during the trial, As Marilyn's parents, brother, and sister watched on, David remained silent, only speaking to announce that he was pleading guilty. It was said that he had hardly shown any emotion. He wouldn't look towards Marilyn's family, and he hardly even batted an eyelid when evidence was given against him. For someone who had been arrogant enough to give his DNA, believing that they wouldn't be able to connect it back to him, he seems to have just crumbled as soon as there was heat on him.
That front's gone.
Mm. Although he did instruct his defence to communicate that he deeply regretted what he had done, and that he gave his unreserved apologies to her family. Oh, sure, okay, that's grand, then we'll just leave it at that then, will we?
Yeah.
All right, David. That's good enough. Now, the DNA evidence. David had volunteered a blood sample, and you think to yourself, David, why would you volunteer your DNA?
Yeah.
Well, David had looked into it. He did a little bit of research on the old internet.
Okay.
He learned...
In 95?
Yeah, well, bear in mind what he worked in. He was somewhat familiar.
Yeah.
So, you know, David was, he was good with the old technology.
I bet, yeah.
During his time on the internet, he learned that DNA would not have survived the elements. But because of the extremely low temperatures, like we said, the DNA was preserved.
Yeah.
Now, I actually looked it up myself, and in December of 1995, temperatures reached as low as -7.8 degrees, which for the Americans is about 17 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's fucking cold.
That is fucking cold. Now, I even actually looked up Sheffield, because yous are more likely to get the snow and the, all that.
Yeah.
We were colder than Sheffield in December of 95. Actually, for the year, we had a colder...
See, the only people, other than, like, obviously, Alaska, Canadians, they're going to be like, is that it?
Yeah. Yeah, to them it's like, oh, you fucking losers.
Fucking sunbathe beat Paul.
So, I mean, that was that. Like I said, David admitted to it once he was actually confronted. I mean, regardless of what the internet had told him, it was wrong.
Yeah.
And his DNA did match, and his... confidence fucked him over in the end.
Hang on, it's 95. Sid probably used the Ask Jeeves. Do you remember that Ask
Jeeves?
Yes,
I do, yeah. Was that a thing in 95? I don't know if that had come out yet, had it?
Don't know.
Well, either way, if it had been, Jeeves fucked
wrong.
Him. Yeah, Jeeves fucked him over. Jeeves lied to him. And David was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison. After the trial was over, Marilyn's brother spoke on the family's behalf. He said, Marilyn is gone. It is going to be difficult to rebuild our lives, but this is a turning point. As we talked about earlier, Marilyn had a large group of friends, and she got on well with her colleagues and was generally well liked. Her funeral saw hundreds of mourners, all wanting to pay their respects to the kind, witty, and caring woman they had once known. David Lawler would be the first person in Ireland to be convicted through DNA evidence.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Again, 95, it was only a babby at the time, you know?
Yeah.
Now look. And that is the case of the murder of Marilyn Rinn.
Fucking hell. So, there's something wrong with that family then?
No, the family is said to be lovely, really nice, not a bother on them, you
Until
know?
Until there isn't.
It's just very unfortunate for them that they've happened to have two people in their family who have committed these horrific acts.
Yeah.
You got to feel bad for them. They're victims as well, just in a very different way, you know?
And has there been, like, any updates from the family, like, family of Marilyn, or...?
I don't think they hugely speak on it. Like, after the trial finished, they were kind of like, right, that's done. Can you give us some peace?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, like the brother said there, that's done. It's permanent. She's gone. But at least we have this kind of finality that he's been put away.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Tell you what, you're loving the Irish cases at the minute.
Well, I mean, we had to cover Larry Murphy at some point.
Yeah.
And then the fact that he is a cousin who committed a similar offence.
Yeah.
I thought, why not follow on from that and cover that shy talk as well?
Yeah. Well, you know how to dampen my day. So I think we'll do an oddity. Well, I'm saying I think we'll do an oddity. Like,
you're getting one whether you want it or not. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the odd here?
Septic penis.
What does that mean?
Well, it's a septic penis. It's a penis that is septic.
Yeah, what's septic?
Infected.
Infected prick.
So there's this man from Norfolk. That sounded really...
Norfolk.
Yeah, it sounded really pronounced.
Norfolk.
Norfolk. I was going to say England. I'm not going to be able to say that.
You don't have to say the L, you just suggest it. Don't completely skip it.
Norfolk. So there's this man from England named Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately for Malcolm, he developed a perineum infection.
Perineum what?
Perineum.
Okay.
It's a...
She's doing something with her hands, lads. What?
I'm trying to show him the area. It's the area there. You know, do you get what I'm saying?
Where pubes are.
The gooch type area.
Yeah. Okay. That so area. Between the arsehole and the bollock.
This is one of those times I really wish we were doing video because it would just add so much to what's happening right now.
Hopefully one day we'll start doing video. Yeah, so it's between the arsehole and the bollocks. That little strip. I swear to God, if you show me a fucking picture.
No, it's like a medical picture. So, see, it's like right...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like it's a diagram. It's not an actual...
Yeah, I know.
But you still seem very upset. But anyway, like I said, poor old Malcolm, he developed the perineum infection. It's no good. And it got even worse because it then turned into a pretty serious case of sepsis. The infection caused his fingers and toes to turn black, as well as his penis.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to enjoy this one.
Quote, "When I saw my penis go black, I was beside myself. It was like a horror movie. I knew deep down it was gone and I was going to lose it. Then one day, it just dropped off onto the floor."
Fuck off. Fuck off. No.
So that's no good. And
see, you're laughing because you haven't got one.
No, I don't, know. Hey, women can have enough things go wrong with their bodies, okay? You don't need to tell women about issues down there.
What would you... Right, would you be laughing the same if...
So my nips turned black and fell off.
There's nothing down there.
Nothing down there.
One of your tits went black and just dropped off, fell on the
floor.
No,
I absolutely wouldn't be laughing.
But it's funny, but it's his prick.
No, it's not funny.
Poor Malcolm.
Well, yeah, obviously it's no good and a bit of a fright for poor old Malcolm. But fear not. Okay?
They sewed it back on.
We're coming back round. Well, no, they couldn't. It was fucked.
Oh, they gave him a penoplasty.
David Ralph, a consultant urologist at UCLH, University College London Hospitals, for those not in the know, specialises in penile reconstruction. And he told Malcolm that he thinks he could help him, although it would take 2 years.
To build a dick?
Yeah, so basically what the procedure entails is taking a flap of skin... taking a flap of skin from Malcolm's arm, and this flap would be connected to blood vessels and nerves.
Okay.
From there, the skin will be fashioned into a shaft type of shape.
Penis, yeah.
They would then create a urethra, which would have two tubes, which would connect to a pump, thus allowing Malcolm to be able to achieve an erection.
And urinate, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Now, Malcolm's new appendage has to, you know, fully form and grow tissue. So they attach it to his forearm.
He's walking around with a dick on his arm.
Yeah, I need to get you a picture. Hang on.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, it's blurred. It's blurred. So here's a picture of Malcolm with his lad on his arm. Happy as can be.
Right, I've heard of walking around with your pride on your sleeve, but that's taking the piss.
Doesn't he look happy though?
Why has he got his sleeve up?
He's displaying it. He's proud of it now. Look at him.
Look at him cupping it.
Yeah.
It's how it sounds. He's holding his arm up and the dick's just flopping.
There's a penis hanging from his arm.
But he's cupping it.
Yeah.
Why is his sleeve up?
Because he needs to show it to you.
He doesn't. He absolutely doesn't.
So yeah, there's Malcolm there anyway, with his penis hanging from his forearm. He looks
naturally.
Yeah, you know, as God intended. Or as, sorry, David Ralph intended. Now, like I said, they were straightforward with them. They said this will take about 2 years because you've got to grow the tissue, it's got to form, and then we can attach it.
So he was walking around for 2 years with that hanging off his arm?
Yes. And then a few issues arose. So, like we said, the 2 year thing. Then COVID came. And as well as COVID, Malcolm hadn't been well at times, so hospital appointments that he'd had got rescheduled or cancelled. He'd been offered 4 different surgery dates, but 3 of them, Malcolm either cancelled or just didn't show up.
Are you going to say he's getting affected to it? He's getting feeling affection to it being on his arm?
No.
So he's delaying it?
I actually don't know what the crack was, why he cancelled or didn't show up. I don't know what. I mean, I would assume he'd want it taken care of and sorted out as quickly as possible.
Do you think while it was on his arm, he tugged it?
I don't.
Could he get it hard on his arm?
Probably not. They probably wouldn't have put the pumps on to it at that stage, you know, and it wouldn't have been fully plumbed in. So he actually ended up having it attached to his arm for quite a while. So Malcolm's just going around with his new penis dangling from his arm.
What's the length?
The length of the penis.
Yeah. Were they generous to him or did they cut him short?
I don't actually know because it's blurred as well. So you can't get a good read on the picture, can you?
Because like, I'd be there saying, go on, give me an 8-incher. But if they said, well, it's got to be on your arm for at least 2 years, I'd be like, well, I can't have 8 inches of dick hanging off me.
Yeah.
My forearm.
It's a bit inconvenient. And Malcolm would actually have this appendage attached to his arm for 6 years in total before finally getting his surgery.
But he should be done for indecent exposure with sleeve up.
But that's for the picture. I'm assuming he didn't have it out all the time. You know, I do feel bad for him. You know, I know we're having a laugh, but it is awful. But seeing as he's finally got it sorted now, I have a couple more situations that Malcolm had to deal with that I thought Neil would enjoy.
Oh, God.
So one of them was when he went to the supermarket, get a bit of food in.
Got it caught in trolley?
No, he goes to help this old lady. I'm assuming, you know, she can't reach something. And he says, I went to Waitrose. There was an old lady that needed some help. It fell out of the bandage and fell out onto her head. This poor old woman getting hit on the head with a lad.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah. It was also a bit of a nuisance when it came to cooking. He said, when I'm cooking, it burns. I can't use the back hob.
Oh.
Just falling into his soup or pasta or mashed potatoes or whatever the fuck. I mean, he's been through enough, Neil. Stop laughing at him. Malcolm said that he's delighted to have a new start and that it will be a boost to his confidence, as well as just making his life a lot easier. Quote, can you imagine 6 years of your life with a penis swinging on your arm? It's been a nightmare, but it's gone now. The little bugger. You okay?
Yeah. I've still got the old woman getting in the forehead with fucking...
I mean, I hope she didn't notice. I hope she was like...
Of course she noticed.
But I mean, like he said on her head.
How do you not notice?
I thought the top of her head. Like he reached
if
over.
If she's looking
just,
up, boom. It's a forehead.
Yeah, hopefully she wasn't looking up.
Hope she didn't notice. What, someone with a prick on their arm but and it hitting her on
ear? He had it. Like you just said, oh, you can't groan without it. He did have it bandaged up. But as he reached, it fell out. His Mickey fell out of the bandage and hit the old woman on the head.
Again, that wouldn't have happened if he had his fucking sleeves down. So he's walking around with his sleeves up.
It could have been warm. Might have been the middle of summer.
He's got a prick on his arm.
There is actually a documentary about Malcolm and his situation. I think we need to watch it.
I don't.
Channel 4 did a documentary about
it. Of course it was Channel 4. Obviously it was going to be Channel 4.
Hey, you want to watch it? We watch after this.
Can do.
How does that grab you anyway?
Not like it grabbed that old woman. Fuck.
Well,
that.
Malcolm's grand now. He's got a new bionic penis. How's that grab you?
Bionic?
Yeah.
Bionic's like
got
metal,
like,
isn't
it? Like pump and all. Yeah, but he's got.
It ain't got pistons in
it's,
it, has
it's
it?
Not. Like, but no, it's not a new. Well, it might do. It's reconstructed.
That poor woman.
You don't feel bad for Malcolm, you feel bad for the
Not at all. He kept delaying his appointments.
What would
and
you
shit.
Do if your granny came home? Now, I know she's dead now, but before she'd snuffed it. She came home with Neil. Something terrible's just happened.
I was reaching for a tin of Spam.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get it.
So this fella came over and put his penis on my head.
Hit me or Ed with his lad. Yeah. I would have been... Because she wouldn't have managed to say on his arm. She would have said, hit me around Ed with his lad. I would have been straight out of that fucking door, running to Waitrose. Fucking Waitrose. How much money's he got?
I know. I've never... Okay, well, then we'll have him over here. But when I've been in the UK, I've never even darkened the doors.
You've got a remortgage house for a loaf of bread.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.